Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Today I'm joined by fellow teammate Tiago.
Hello everyone.
And today our special guest is Ahmet Albalkan. Ahmet, would you like to tell people kind of a little bit about yourself and what you're here to talk about?
I'm Ahmet Albalkan. I work at Azure Linux team. My primary job is to make Docker run great on Azure.
Great. And we've done a little bit on Docker before, so if you're not familiar with kind of what Docker is at all, there's a video beneath here in the show notes. Go take a look at that first to kind of have an understanding of what that is. Before we jump into your presentation, we are going to go through a little bit of news today. The first news item actually doesn't really have much to do with the cloud, but it is really cool. This week was Xamarin Evolve, and they announced the open source of Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, and Xamarin Forms. Yeah. So something we talked about doing a build, you know, now it's actually out there. All of these are open on GitHub, so you can go and see how Xamarin really works. It's really cool stuff. Jumping over to actual Azure news, we got a couple of services that have gone GA. The first one is Azure Container Service, kind of relevant to what we're going to be talking about today. Container Service is basically, you know, doing containerization with both TCOS or Docker Swarm. It's a little bit more, I guess, advanced than some of the stuff we'll talk about today, but it's a really cool feature that's now GA. Then also Azure Stream Analytics and Power BI, also general availability. I don't know that we've done anything on Stream Analytics on the show in a while, but Power BI is actually really awesome. You can create some really cool, impressive displays with data and stuff like that, so awesome to see that GA. Something we did announce a little while back in March was that we're migrating the application insights stuff for mobile applications into Hockey App. So that's been lit up as of this week. So now if you go into your application insights instances that are connected to either, I think, Android or iOS or other mobile apps, you'll see a thing that says, hey, transfer this over to Hockey App. So that's kind of a single-click thing you can do now. It'll generate everything for Hockey App for you right away. I think at some point down the road, it'll just be automated. It'll automatically transfer you over there. The idea being that that's kind of your mobile information center, your mobile application information center for insights as well as feedback and all that stuff when you're using Hockey App. So another cool thing is that Azure SQL Database now supports geo-replication features for all service tiers. So this is previously only for, I think, the highest level, so premium. So now it's going to be actually available on all service tiers, which is really awesome. And then the last thing we'll talk about today is that we announced the version 2.1.0 SDK for Azure Mobile Apps Node.js Server. This set up some really cool capabilities, I think my favorite of which is local development. So now it becomes very, very easy to run that Node.js backend on your local computer before you push it up into Azure App Service. And then also stuff is unit integration test suites, support for AAD groups, and then some really cool improvements to documentation to understand, you know, how things work. So all together, some really cool announcements for the week. We're going to go ahead and switch over to Ahmet and get his presentation right now. All right, and we're back. Let's see what you have, Ahmet.
All right, so we're going to talk about Docker Machine today. First, we should probably start with start talking about what Docker Machine actually is.
Yeah.
Docker Machine is a tool. It is a very small tool developed by Docker. So the tool creates virtual machines for you. Mm-hmm. And that virtual machine is designed to run Docker Engine for you. So normally, you would, you know, go to your cloud provider, or, you know, you install a VirtualBox or Hyper-V on your machine, and then you would, you know, try to configure it. Like, you try to install Docker, you try to configure authentication, you try to add, you know, more advanced settings. But Docker Machine does all that for you, and it does that in a uniform way for you.
So this is like, so I've used the Docker tool before, and that's how you, you know, create containers and run those containers, stuff like that. This is kind of a step before of actually getting a machine that actually is capable of running those containers.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So this is going to give you a machine that is fully capable of running containers for you on the cloud or on your laptop.
Awesome.
Yeah. So the way you install Docker Machine is you just Google, I guess you just search for Docker Machine and then download it on your machine. And then you would go to your terminal. So right now, first, I'm going to start creating a VirtualBox VM on my laptop, on my Mac here, so that we can just play with it. So what I'm going to type is Docker Machine create driver VirtualBox. And I'm going to call my machine dev. So what's going on right now is Docker right now is fetching the latest image it has and then creating a provisioning a virtual machine on my VirtualBox. So right now it's creating the SSH key, then it's going to, you know, download Docker, install a bunch of other things, configure a network, and once we're done, we're basically going to get a VM that is useful for development. Let's say you have a blog and then you want to, you know, develop your blog inside a Docker container, or you have some program that you want to run inside Docker. So on your Mac, you don't really need to go to cloud and install, you know, provision a Linux virtual machine, install Docker there, because all these steps take such a long time. Docker machine makes that shorter and uniform for, you know, all the virtualization technologies as well as cloud providers.
Now, prior to doing this, did you install just VirtualBox or did you install boot to Docker?
So boot to Docker was the solution before Docker Machine. Now boot to Docker is actually folded into Docker Machine. So when you actually say VirtualBox, it's still using a boot to Docker image, but that doesn't make much difference. So,
and on Windows, is it with Hyper-V then?
Yes, it is primarily Hyper-V now. Mm-hmm. So, but if you have VirtualBox, you can still use that too.
Right.
So, as we can see here, our Docker engine is up and running, apparently. So when I run this command, Docker machine environment dev, it basically tells me that if you run this command in your shell, I'm going to set all the environment variables that you need. So once I set this, I'm basically right now talking to a Docker engine running in my VirtualBox.
Great.
And I haven't installed anything besides Docker machine on my machine yet. So there's probably just VirtualBox, and that's about it. So I can run my containers here without going to cloud. I can do all my testing here, do all my verification here, basically. So next thing I'm going to show is we have an Azure driver, just like a VirtualBox driver, for Docker machine for quite a while now. But that was primarily for the Azure Service Manager stack. And you know, we're kind of moving to this Azure Resource Manager stack now. And we basically rewrote the whole driver. And we added a lot of capabilities to support all these new features. Now we have the Azure driver released with Docker machine version 0.7.0.
So if you go download the latest version, you're going to have that driver.
Yes, you're definitely getting that. And then, so basically, the way to go is exactly the same. So I'm going to start a new terminal here, Docker machine, create driver Azure. So I'm going to add a little help command here. So you're going to see a bunch of arguments here. I'm actually going to shrink that just a little bit. But primarily, you're going to see a bunch of arguments here, like, you know, Azure availability set, like Azure location, Azure VM size, or what Linux image do you want to use, or, you know, what is your subscription ID, and all that stuff. So basically, what I can do here is, this is a bit hard to render on the display, but basically, the only thing I need to create a Docker machine on Azure is my subscription ID, period. We have really good defaults. Like, if you want to get a different size, you can totally get that. But we have really good defaults. So what you can do is, you have this environment variable, Azure subscription ID, or dash dash Azure subscription ID argument that you can set. Since we're going to run multiple commands, we should probably just go ahead and set the environment variable. So this is my subscription ID. And then what I'm going to do next is I'm just going to say Docker machine create dash dash driver Azure. And my VM name is, I don't know.
Cloud Cover,
there you go.
Maybe we should make that special. I don't know, Cloud Cover is a pretty important thing. Maybe somebody already took that name.
I don't think so.
Based on the subscription?
It's not based on the subscription or anything. You can just specify any name you like.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is, I'm going to develop a web server container just for you guys. So I'm going to say Azure open port 80. So this is another argument that we can pass. Like, you can say, hey, I want all these ports or all the, you know, all this port range from, let's say, 1,000 to 2,000 open.
That's why I had the default was a high port.
Yeah. So when I hit that, it says you need to sign in, just like our Azure Crowd from CLI. It says you that you should open this browser page and then type this code in here. And note that this is like only once in 2 weeks, so you don't need to really worry about that.
And it's actually, it's pretty easy, realistically.
I'm done. I'm like, took less than 5 seconds. So now, what's going to happen is Docker machine is right now authenticating to Azure Active Directory, and it's getting, you know, its token for Azure REST APIs, ARM REST APIs. And now, it is going on and it already started to create some resources. For instance, we created a resource group called Docker machine. It created an availability set for our Docker machines, created a firewall, a network security group. It's creating a virtual network. You know, it's going to create a bunch of other things like network interfaces, IP addresses. If it needs a public IP address, we're going to create that. We're going to create subnets. All this stuff will be created for the users. And you know, as I said before, you can see the values provided there. We have really good defaults in this case.
But those are all things you can override with the command line. You can all customize.
So behind the scenes, there's a resource group template that you have to create all of this. Yeah. And then the parameters you pass in will be parameters for
exactly.
the resource group.
So it's not necessarily, it's not an ARM template per se, but it is still ARM resources that we create. So as you can see, like the VM is still going on to provision. This is probably going to take 2-3 minutes. But I'm going to go to Azure portal. So I'm in the resource group called Docker Machine. If I just refresh my resources, you can see that we already have some resources coming up. Like I have this virtual network here, the public IP address, the firewall, the network interface, the availability set. So as I keep refreshing, as you can see, more stuff is
just
coming up.
Creating everything?
Yeah. So the VM is probably coming up right now. I go back to my terminal. As you can see, I'm just creating an Ubuntu server 1510 image right here. Mm-hmm. And then in a few minutes, probably we should be back. And then this machine should be ready to go.
Cool.
Great. All right, it looks like the VM might have been finished.
All right, yes, that's right. So it says Docker is up and running. Again, I'm going to run this command, Docker machine env cloud cover. So it's going to type that, it's going to say me that, you know, these are the environment variables that you need to set. So I'm basically going to evaluate this command on my bash terminal. And now my bash terminal is pointing to an Azure instance running a Docker engine on Ubuntu Server 15.10.
That seems like it's a lot easier than I remember having to create Docker machines in Linux World before.
Yeah, all the pains are gone.
Or rather in Azure, yeah.
That's right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually check if my machine is created correctly. So I'm going to run Docker machine ls. Right now what's going on is, as you can see, I had this dev machine on my VirtualBox, and then I have this cloud cover machine on Azure, and there it's IP address. So since we are right now talking to a Docker engine on Azure, I'm going to just run Docker PS, and as you can see, it just works fine.
Yep.
So why don't we try to pull a web server container? In this case, I'm going to use Nginx web server. So the container is being pulled right now.
Could you add, like, so let's say somebody else creates a Docker machine that you also want to access. Can you add that so when you do Docker machine ls, it shows up there? Or is that only going to show things that you specifically create on this machine, for example?
Yeah, right now, all the data about this cloud cover machine essentially is in my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
If I send my credentials to you, then and if you copy it to the right place in your machine, you can totally use it too.
Okay.
Yeah. And so right now our image is pulled. Basically, I'm just going to run this web server container on port 80. And I'm going to say restart always, because if it crashes, it should probably come back. And that's pretty much it. So right now I'm starting a web server container.
All right. Very quickly.
Yep.
So that is running on that's on the Azure driver, the cloud cover one that you created.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So it's unusually taking too long. I'm going to try it again.
Now, you could have run the same command earlier when you were connected to the Docker, the local
VirtualBox VM,
Docker
that's
machine, right.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, so in this case, our container is up. So I'm going to say Docker machine IP cloud cover. So I need to know what the IP address is of the machine that we just created. Okay, so this is the IP address of the machine. So if I click on that, here we go. We have a web server container running on cloud, and like it took me probably 2-3 minutes to just get started with Docker on Azure.
That was remarkably quick to get that VM started and Docker running.
So when you ran the Docker machine Azure to create the VM and then install Docker on it, use port 80 just to make sure that the IP was already open from a VM perspective as well, right?
That's right. Yeah. Otherwise, firewall by default closes down all the ports for security purposes.
And that's specifically to the firewall options in, for example, you could go to the Azure portal to change those as opposed to necessarily the VM itself, or does it do both?
It is just on the, so if I go to the resource group, basically there is a firewall for cloud cover VM. So if I click on that and go to the settings, and see the inbound security rules right here. As you can see, I have a port 80 allow any rule right here. Mm-hmm. So this rule is basically allowing that functionality.
Great.
Cool.
Yep.
Nice.
So you know, since we're done with it, we can probably just delete this VM now. What do you think?
Sure, yeah. Let's see it happen.
All right. So if I say Docker machine RM cloud cover, it says, are you sure? Yep. So right now, we started to delete everything. So first, we are going to delete the virtual machine and all the resources. And at the end, when I come back to the Azure portal, in this Docker machine resource group, we're going to see nothing.
Right. Now, what would happen if you would, so let's say you'd created this resource group, put all the stuff in here, and then you'd gone in, maybe you manually added other stuff into the resource group.
Yes.
That wasn't part of the automated, you know, the Docker machine create. Will Docker machine just get rid of that as well, or
no.
leave the resource group with that resource?
So we totally try to be smart about it, and we only delete the resources that we created ourselves.
Okay.
So we don't delete the resource group. For instance, in this case, I actually created the resource group beforehand, but it's not going to delete that.
Okay, good. That's good.
Yeah.
And of course, it knows that the driver that you're using is Azure because it associates that cloud cover with the Azure driver.
Exactly. Yep. It so already knows all these details.
It knows what to delete.
Yes, exactly. So it knows my subscription ID, everything, all that info is stored. It just knows where to go, where to look, and delete everything that it needs.
Very nice.
Then how does this relate to Azure Container Service and other
excellent
Docker
question. So I tend to think that Docker Machine is more like a development tool. Mm. Like if you're trying to play with Docker, you know, you're probably going to have just your personal website or something like that. You know, if you're dealing with one or two machines, then this is the right tool for the right job.
Right.
Because stuff like Azure Container Service or other container orchestrators in general, you know, they're mostly designed to have, you know, this VM farm that you want to manage in the long term. Like you don't want to be in the operations business. You just want to, you know, have virtual machines laying around and you can just push tasks there and then it'll just figure out everything. Mm. But in this case, it is totally an overkill. So Docker Machine, you know, it is going to give you one VM and like you can totally run your blog, for instance, and you know, it can be a super small instance. Or if you're running a single job, you can just rent a super high like Godzilla series instance, and then it's going to give you a Docker engine that you can run your scientific computation on.
Hmm.
And then once you're done, you're just going to delete it like that.
Right.
Cool.
So,
and I guess while you're developing a solution, even if you're in an enterprise, you can use it to test out, make sure everything works. And because it's Docker, it should run everywhere.
Everywhere. That's right.
That's cool.
Yeah. So once you try your workload on this machine, then you're essentially going to deploy it to your Azure Container Service, and it's going to work exactly the same.
Nice.
So Docker Machine is also like that. And potentially, the people can use it to connect their machines across clouds. Like if I have a machine on, you know, Amazon, Google, DigitalOcean, and Azure, I can connect up all these machines too. And if I have my machine on my own premises that I created with Docker Machine, see, I can do that too. I mean, all this stuff is possible with Docker Machine. And actual features of Docker Machine go a lot beyond that. Like, I can create swarm clusters, but it's not really a good way to create swarm clusters. So it's like just like an experimental feature there. So Azure Container Service is still the right tool for the right job. And this has, you know, its own little job that it is supposed to do, and it does that well.
Cool.
Right. Now, where can people go if they want to learn more about Docker Machine or if they've got questions?
Excellent question. So with that, actually, you know, if they can just search Docker Machine on their search engine, they're going to land to this page probably. And then here in the documentation, we actually have a drivers page. And then in there, there's a Microsoft Azure page.
Right.
In this page, basically, we tell, you know, how the authentication works or, you know, what are the options. So as you can see, the Azure subscription ID is the only option here. And then you can specify, you know, all these command line arguments are well documented and listed here. So at the end, you know, we have a chart of the command line arguments that users can specify, and you know, they can see the defaults in a tabular form.
Okay. Right. Speaking of the authentication, is there another option besides doing the login? Like, is there a certificate-based approach to doing it, or is it specifically
not yet.
Login?
Okay. Not yet. So in the long term, what we're planning to do is you would just authenticate once with the model that I just showed you, and it will run forever. And potentially, if you have a certificate, you can bring that too. So we're planning to implement all these stuff in the future.
Right.
But as I said, this is not something that you would use an orchestrator in a headless mode.
Yeah.
So you'll always be typing commands manually. So it's probably okay to show you just the browser prompt.
I think so. I just thought I'd ask.
And well, the good thing is that it asks which what way you want to authenticate. So if you want to go with an organizational account or a normal Microsoft account, you can choose when the pop-up comes up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Cool. And then, so this would be if they want to read more about it. Where can people go if they've got questions? Is there someone they can reach out to?
Exactly. So they can reach out to me or the Docker Machine community in general.
Okay. Do you have like a Twitter handle they could reach out to?
Yes. My Twitter handle is if they just look up my name.
Just give us one of these and we'll put it right in the video.
All right. My Twitter handle is Ahmed Albalkan. It's a very long name, but there it is. I couldn't get a shorter one. Sorry.
We'll be able to finish it.
Yeah. And actually, if they can go to github.com/docker/machine, if they can just open an issue here, and if they just type Azure somewhere, they can make sure that I'll be reading that.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Yeah. Very cool. Well, that's great. You know, that was remarkably much easier than the past when I've created a Docker virtual machines via any other method. So it's nice to see that it's gotten so much easier, and it's great work.
All right.
And I believe we're going to have you back for another episode in the future for more Docker Azure related goodness.
Yep, sure.
Awesome. So look forward to that in the near future. Ahmed, thank you for joining us. Appreciate that. Everybody out there, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Cool. Thank you.